listening to Business Daily from the BBC with Andrew Walker. Sandy has arrived, an unwelcome guest in a large swathe of the eastern United States and parts of Canada. Inevitably, this giant storm has taken lives. There's also a trail of destruction and disruption to business. For the first time in over a century, the New York Stock Exchange has closed for 2 days due to the weather. The storm has dominated the American media.
This is a special edition of World News Tonight, the largest tropical storm ever recorded in the Atlantic, thrashing the East Coast. Winds gusting.
The East Coast is being pummeled with the power of a record-breaking superstorm.
Oh my God, it's washing everything away!
One of the worst storms that has ever hit Atlantic City. This city is basically underwater.
The Big Apple has been shut down to its core. Lower Manhattan looks like a ghost town.
I'm staring over a railing of a boardwalk business right into the ocean, and it really looks like Niagara Falls out there. We're talking.
This is not a time to be stupid. This is a time to try to save yourself and your family.
Stay inside. It's for your own safety. Conditions are going to be very dangerous outside. It's not nasty. This is dangerous. Winds of this magnitude can pick up something in a moment's notice and throw it right at you very hard, and it can be fatal.
The priority for the official agencies responding to the storm is to minimize further human casualties and save lives. They're also acutely aware of the shadow of Hurricane Katrina in 2005 and the flooding it caused in New Orleans, when the federal government's response was severely criticized. And beyond the immediate safety concerns, there is an economic aspect. The storms will mean lost business and damage that firms will have to deal with. I've been speaking to Richard Fenning, chief executive of the consultancy Control Risks, and began by asking him how well prepared the United States is this time round.
Nobody wants to have the kind of spectre of Katrina hanging over them as a city. So this is a storm that's affecting a huge area. A lot of our attention is focused on New York because it's the kind of at the heart of the storm, and it's where all these major companies are based. But yes, it's both at a local level and at a national level, people are much better prepared. And New York specifically had the awful trauma of 9/11. Which left a lot of companies scratching their heads about their own ability to be resilient and withstand this kind of crisis and disaster. So New York's very specifically has the structures in place in order to make sure that companies can get by.
You mentioned the things that companies have had to do, and of course this is a kind of event that requires a response both from the public sector and from business itself.
Yeah.
What kind of particular challenges have businesses had to deal with in preparing themselves for something they've known is coming for a little while?
They've known it's coming before, and in terms of putting together a plan, any reasonable kind of crisis management or business continuity plan should be about 60% about actual hardwired planning, and 40% of it is about intelligent improvisation. So there's only so much you can do, because this time it's a storm. Previously we've had terrorist attacks, and you've got to be able to think across a wide range of potential crises.
But storms are something you know are going to come.
You know they're going to happen in the eastern US. It's unusual for it to be happening this far north, and if it doesn't happen for a long time, people assume it never happens. And actually, historically, it does. It just hasn't happened on this scale for quite a long time. So a storm is absolutely something that you can prepare for. Very strong adverse weather conditions.
So the hard wiring, as you put it, the kind of things that you can do in advance. What kind of things are we talking about for businesses?
It's about making sure that if people do not need to come to a specific location, they don't need to come to an office, that the business can still continue to operate. Social media, advances in telecommunications, even since 9/11, huge advantage now in people being able to continue to run their business without everybody having to collect in the same spot in order to do that. Also, for international companies...
So people working from home?
People working from home, people working from other locations, activities being switched from, say, a New York office to an office somewhere else, maybe in continental USA, or certainly even internationally as well. These kind of taut global supply lines that we saw so badly affected by the earthquake in Fukushima in Japan, we saw affected by the floods in Thailand, and now we're seeing it happen here. It's not just about people working from home, although that's absolutely key to it. It's also about switching capability to other parts of a global organization.
Which I suppose is something you can do more easily in a service business, is it, than when you're actually dealing with physical products? I mean, is it something, for example, the financial markets can do more readily?
Financial markets, for said, the financial market system is in many ways like a public holiday, just an extended public holiday. They're used to having to stop trading for periods of time and for their customers and their clients to continue to receive a service. If you own a shop in downtown New York, you can't suddenly expect those customers to come to Seattle to buy the same products they would have bought today in New York. And New York has a, not exclusively, but it has a heavily dependent service economy, much more difficult if you're in manufacturing or if you're in retail.
Has there been a particular role in this crisis for financial business that is moved overseas? I mean, have European and Asian branches of major international financial institutions, have they been doing a lot of the work that might normally have been done in New York or maybe even Chicago?
That's right. I mean, it's all part of everybody playing their allotted role. And you can't make that up when the thing happens. You've got to have got that prepared in advance. So that's the absolute key stuff that you can do well in advance. If we're not able to get access to this building, if we have a power outage, if there's some kind of natural or man-made disaster, who else within the organization is going to step up to the best that they can and continue to make sure the operation runs effectively? The mantra in often this is sort of prudent overreaction. After the event, people often turn around and say, well, there was so much hype about this, it was never quite as bad as we were told it was going to be, but way better, particularly post-9/11, post-Katrina, way better for people to overreact and make sure that their business is able to operate. New York has the advantage of not being the capital city of the United States. So whilst this is a federal level emergency, it also is absolutely to New York's advantage that it has a singular focus of kind of concentration and leadership on Mayor Bloomberg. In capital cities, it's often very difficult, different organizations tripping over each other to see who's going to be handling the crisis. New York, very much clearer.
The kind of businesses we've been talking about are mostly those that have got, that are frankly large and international, or at least spread across many different locations. But there are plenty of businesses that are very small and are just downtown New York or wherever. What kind of preparation should they have been making, have they been making?
Well, I think in the sort of preservation of human life is the absolute sort of priority, of course. It's the complete imperative. And for small businesses, small motor organizations or retail organizations, it's really therefore they're in the lap of the public sector. The sort of giants of the international finance industry have the resources to be able to put in place all sorts of kind of alternatives. But for the kind of ordinary, small, family-run business operating in the boroughs of New York, this is a much harder thing to deal with.
Richard Fenning from Control Risks.